Me this afternoon to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll continue our studies in this book and in this chapter. And we have for some time now have been dealing as we progress down as we progress through the fourth chapter and down through the fifth chapter, with our walk. With our walk as saved church members. Saved being the first prerequisite for church membership. The second being baptized upon our profession of faith. And thus added to His church. And that's who the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to here in particular, is His local assembly, in this case, at Ephesus. As it applies to us today, it is speaking to us here at the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. And been dealing with our walk. In the fifth chapter, particularly dealing with our walk as children, children of God. And children are imitators of their parents. And we are to be imitators of God as dear children, and that imitation of God as His children is to walk in love as Christ walked in love, as He hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor or odor. There's our example. We are to walk as Christ walked, and thus we will be imitating God, which involves putting off the works of the flesh, in summary. Those desires and passions of the flesh, we are to crucify, we are to put behind us, because those that do those things are children of darkness. They're children of Satan. Satan is their father. They are not the children of God. So we as children of God are not to walk after that manner. Last week, we dealt with verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. There are some who are truly Christians, who are saved church members, who get drawn away after their flesh, and they're said to be asleep. They're said to be sleeping. They're not alert. They're not awake to the life which they're living as a life unto God. And that verse simply said that they're walking among the dead. Walking among the dead, and they're to arise from the dead. And because Christ what? Christ gives you the life of light. Christ has given to us a life of light, and we're to be a light. And when we're walking in as do the children of darkness, then we're not letting the light of Jesus Christ flow and shine brightly through us. So it brings us in summary, quick summary, to the verse that we're going to deal with today, verse 15, which says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Being that we are children of light and are to walk deeds and word, walk that manner of life deals with both what we do and what we say. We're to walk as children of light and awaking from sleep and arising from among the dead, leaving the works of darkness behind us. And because Christ, the light, is shining on us, we are to see then. Did you get that? We're to see then. I want us to just think about that. See then for a minute. We are to see to our walk. We're to look to how we're walking, to how we're behaving, to how we say, the things we say, the things we do. We're to look to that. See how we walk, or take heed to how we walk. There's three passages of Scripture that we can think of right offhand that deal with that and tell us to do that. Let's look at those passages of Scripture. Turn with me, first of all, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and the 13th chapter. And look with me here at verse 5. Second Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to examine myself, I'm going to see then. Right? Isn't that what you do when you want to examine yourself? You got to itch over here, and now we over here, and you examine it. You see to it. You see then. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So he's telling us, see then how you walk. Is it as becomes a Christian? Is it as one that is a child of God? Is it as one who is saved is to be walking, is to behaving, is to be conducting himself? Prove yourself. Well, if you want to prove yourself to someone, what do? Actions. You set forth to prove your point, prove yourself. We're to prove to one another. I'm to prove to you that I am saved, that I am a faithful church member. You're to prove to me that you are saved, that you are a faithful church member. You see, all that's wrapped up in those two words, see then. See to yourself, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Are you really in the faith? I've over the years, I've asked myself, and especially when I look to an unsaved person, one who doesn't even profess faith in Christ Jesus, who doesn't even go to church, who's as ungodly as they can be, but yet they have some good character traits in them. And I say, my goodness, they put me to shame. They're not saved, and I am. Or I say to myself, how can I do such a thing and really be saved? Really be a child of God? How can I give in to that temptation? How can I give in to that desire and passion of the flesh and really be saved? A child of God. So examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. You know, try, test. And our trying and testing is before others as well. And then he uses the all-conclusive example. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Don't you know that, beloved? Don't you know that, child of God, that Christ is in you? How can you behave so unchristlike? How can I behave so unchristlike? How can I be so ugly in spirit and character? Christ is in me. Christ is in you.
Except you be reprobate. Are you a reprobate? Am I a reprobate? Biding under the wrath of God, under the condemnation of God, and Christ is not really in me? That's what we have to ask ourselves when our walk doesn't measure up with being a child of God, doesn't measure up with being saved. Turn with me to another passage of Scripture that deals with the same idea and thought. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. In other words, the apostle here is saying to the Philippians, he said, you've always obeyed the truth. You've always obeyed the gospel. Not only in my presence, but when I wasn't there, I got reports that you were obedient to the faith. So as you've always been obedient to the faith, he says, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying here, work to be saved. But he's saying because you are saved, your salvation will work. It will produce those good works talked about in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. That God hath foreordained that we should walk in them, in those good works, after being saved, after salvation. You that say you are saved, we ought to be manifesting it by our works. Work out. That which is in you, work that out. How much easier. How much better can we say that? If Christ is in us, then he ought to be shown forth in that which we do and say in our manner of life. Then one other passage of Scripture, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1.
looking at verses 8 through 10, he says, "For if these things be in you," what things? Well, he said, adding to your faith, you have faith. Well, then you ought to be adding to your faith, true faith. We'll be adding to it virtue. And to that faith and that virtue which you have, you'll be adding knowledge. And to your faith, virtue, and knowledge, you will be adding temperance. We all know what temperance is then. Self-control. Self-control over the desires and passions of the flesh. We'll be exercising ourselves unto love, agape, rather than unto ungodliness, which is the opposite of love. And adding to that patience, and to that patience, godliness, and to that godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, love. Love. Good chapter to read on love, on charity, is 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and everywhere that it says charity, put Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't behave itself unseemly. Jesus Christ is patient. Jesus Christ is long-suffering. You see, and on, right down through the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, we could go. Inserting Jesus Christ, we're to be exercised unto charity. And he says, "For if these things be in you and abound," not just in you, but they're abounding in you. That is, they're continuing, they're having a continuing presence in your life. "They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful." We talked about fruit this morning. Well, we want to produce fruit to the glory of God. We don't want to be like that unfruitful fig tree that Israel was a type of this morning. We want to be a fruitful fig tree unto the Lord Jesus Christ. "Shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you understand what knowledge produces within you and I, don't you? It produces those things we talked about in the previous verses. It produces fruit. It produces godly living. The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does. So that's why we desire to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. "But he that lacketh these things is blind." Didn't say he was unsaved. He said he's blind. He's as a blind man, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, I said, didn't say he was unsaved. He's forgotten. If he is saved, he's blind and he's forgotten. He's been cleansed. Been cleansed of his sin. He's, as Ephesians 5 said in verse 14, "Awake, thou that sleepest." In walking in giving in to the desires and passions of the flesh, you're walking as one that is sleeping, one that is blind. He said, forgetting that you've been cleansed of your sins. Did you think about that? Every time we make the choice, and yes, we do, we make the choice to sin. I choose to be
unjustly angry with my wife because I got up on the wrong side of the bed, I choose to be angry with her. For no reason. You just let her look at me wrong. What's the matter with you? You see? See what I'm saying? That hits home, doesn't it? We choose to sin. When we choose to sin, we're forgetting that we've been cleansed. You see, even when I don't feel right when I get up, I'm to let love, agape, charity, prevail. Maybe she got up having a bad day too. Maybe she don't feel the greatest either. But she, out of love for me, goes on about her wifely responsibilities, tending to my needs. Right? Does it make sense? We choose to sin. We choose to be angry. We choose to get angry at the fella who cut us off on the interstate. My wife just thought, sure, the other day, coming home from the airport, that we were going to have a wreck, and the Lord's probably the only one that kept us from it. There's this white Silverado pickup truck come flying up, and he was over here. I was in the passing lane, and I was done passing the vehicle, and I was going to move over into the middle lane, and he come around over to the middle lane. I was there and in his way, and he moved over just about simultaneously with me, and he moved over into the far lane that he's not even supposed to be passing anybody, and he went flying around me and come in right on my front fender like that. She doesn't know how we missed. You know, because there was a slow-moving box truck over here in that lane, and so is either running into the back of that box truck for him or cut me off. And he cut me off. The Lord takes care of us. But you see, I could have chose to get angry, and probably I'll confess right now, there was a day when I would have floored that thing and I'd have gone flying up on him and pulled out alongside of him, and I'd have been giving him a piece of my mind. Would that have been the right thing to do? When I used to be tempted to do, my wife would say, how do you know they're not going to know you're a pastor of the church? You see, we choose to sin, and we choose every day to sin or not to sin. Verse 10. See, we don't want to be as one that lacks these things: faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, so on. Wherefore, rather than being as one that lacks these things, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You see, in doing those things, it's impossible to fall. You're being victorious over sin. You're choosing the right way. You're adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. What were some of the others? I always want to confuse that with Galatians 5:22. Temperance. Well, right there, we're talking about self-control. Controlling our spirit. Controlling the flesh. You see, the flesh will easily do those things. But we're to exercise control over it. As the Apostle Paul literally said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he literally said in the wording there, I beat my body black and blue to beat it into subjection
to himself. And that's what we literally have to do. We have to deprive ourselves of the desires of the flesh. And we're, in doing so, we're just proving beyond a shadow of a doubt to those that witness our behavior that our calling and election, choosing of God, is sure. We say we're saved. We say we're saved. We say that we've been chosen by God. Well, our life ought to be bearing it forth. Our walk is not just an inward walk. You got that? You see, we have an inward walk. We have an inward desire. If we truly are born again, if we truly are saved, we've been given a new heart. The Spirit of God indwells us. That Spirit cannot sin. That new man cannot sin. He desires only good. He desires only those things that are pleasing to God. You got that? But it's not just an inward walk. You see, that which is in us is to be an outward, is to produce an outward walk, an outward behavior. That's what we've been talking about. Well, we're in the second chapter since we've been talking this, chapter 4 and chapter 5 now. It's to produce an outward exterior. Folks literally are to see by our behavior Jesus Christ. They're to look at Brother Mike and say, he's different. There's something different about him than me. They're to look at Seth Bourne and say, there's something different about him than me. Maybe even they might desire, I'd like to be more like Mike. I'd like to be more like Seth. That's what they're supposed to see as they look at us. God works in us. And he's done, every one of his children, he's done a work in them. We already established the fact that he's given us a new heart. He's put in us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. God has worked in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, he's worked that in us. And we are to do it. We are to work it out. Which really has a direct reference to what we read there in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we only read verse 12. But let's read 12 and 13 together. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and as in my presence, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He said, work it out
Why? Why is it to be worked out? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that which God has worked in us, he says, that which God has worked in us, we are to work it out.
Ah. Did a light bulb go on? Did that paint a beautiful picture to you as to what our life is to be? That which we say has taken place inwardly is to be manifest outwardly. Well, I didn't get as far as I wanted. We just basically dealt with a little bit of review and the see then. See then. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves before others. And in proving yourself to others, you're proving yourself, proving to yourself that the Spirit of God is dwelling within you. We'll continue on with that verse next week. We'll get more into walk circumspectly if you're a mind to think upon these messages and these verses in Ephesians chapter 5. Think about a circumspect walk. Walk circumspectly. What does that entail? What does that mean? And actually, there's several verses that we might be able to lump together with walk circumspectly. But right now, we're dealing with verse 15. Think on those things. Shall we stand?